you?
I'm fine. You're a little laggy sometimes, but
Well, I can't do anything about that. Let's hope it
I
works itself out. I've been doing finger guns a lot lately, and I don't know why, but it's like I started rewatching New Girl, and I think she does a lot of finger guns.
Oh.
I don't know if that's why, but in my brain, I'm gonna go with that because I don't know why. I don't know. I feel like it's not cool, so I really shouldn't.
Trying new things, yeah. You know,
Seeing what works for me, you know.
quarantine, you know.
I feel like, I've been all over the place. We're doing this late. I feel like our four listeners can know that we're doing this late. I'm shocked that Katie hasn't texted me about where the podcast is because she usually does. So shout out to Katie for keeping us on our shit, keeping me on my shit since we were 15, basically. But like this weekend just happened and like it went away. The past like week and a half just disappeared on me and went away. And
I know.
I don't know where it went. I don't know what I was doing. I don't know. This Saturday though was the first Saturday that I didn't have like anything to do. So my ass slept until like 1:30.
That's awesome.
And I did not feel bad about it.
No, you shouldn't.
Because the week before we had Katie's drive-through baby shower, and I had to go pick up cookies from this lady in Slidell. So I was up at like the ass crack of dawn. Okay, I really was, and I was up at like 8:15. But like that to me is the ass crack of dawn. And I'm not a morning person. I don't do morning. There are very few people I get up early for. One is the man that pays me to work, and so I get up early for that person. And then like Katie, I will people like that, I will get up early for those people. But like shoot, man. So I slept so long, and I was like supposed to, my mom and I had to go get a present for my cousin, and she texted me like 10:30. Nah, girl. I texted her like 1:30 and I was like, "What's up?" I was dead to the world. Hello.
Well, you just need to catch up. It's fine.
I really think so. And like, especially, I mean, like, this isn't funny. I'd love it for it to be funny. But like, having arthritis, like, I'm exhausted all the time. So like, people are usually like, oh, you can't catch up on your sleep. Like, that's not a thing that you can do. And I was like, tell my 90-year-old arthritic body that, because the girl loves sleep. It's like, I don't know. And then the whole weekend just like completely got away from me. Because then what happens is like you sleep or you don't do anything or you're like lazy, but then like the day gets away from you and then you don't get to accomplish anything.
Yeah.
So it's like an endless, it's a vicious cycle.
Well, and these days it's just everything's so monotonous and it's
Oh,
just.
I know. I mean, like, I love my mom and everything, but like, there's only so much of Linda that I gotta see the outside world, and it's not working for me. So, yeah. But I saw my cousin yesterday. My cousin's baby was baptized yesterday, so we did like a. It was we were the only family, so we all could like be distant and had masks on and everything. And she named her after my grandma. So
Oh.
it was like, yeah, it was a whole thing. So Luciana Lucille was
Oh.
baptized yesterday. Yeah, she's so cute. So we did that. So I got to see, I haven't seen my cousin in 9 months, probably. I mean, I haven't seen, since like the beginning of the year. And I think I saw her on, I would have seen her on Endymion. That would have been the last day I saw her in person.
Wow,
Yeah.
that's
So
crazy. Oh my God, that's so long ago.
long ago. I feel like that was like a lifetime ago. Like I have lived 80 years since Mardi Gras. Like the fact that we're still in the same calendar year is mind-boggling. Like
Can't.
I can't comprehend that we're still in the same calendar year as that Mardi Gras, which felt like 3 years ago. I felt, yeah, like it felt like 3 years ago, and I don't even know what to do with that. But yeah, that would have been the last time I saw her. And that was the last time I saw like her kids too. So like, you know, kids when they're like really young and you don't see somebody for a long time, and then I had a mask on. So her poor son was like, who the shit are you? Like, who is this crazy person? And I'm like, sorry. At least I like didn't go and hug him or anything, you know? So I wasn't like super creep or anything, but
yeah,
it just like, it freaking sucks. I'm ready for it to be, I mean, it's never going to be over. I think this is going to be like a flu situation where you just kind of like get it, but I'm like ready for at least like to be able to take medicine. Like, you know, I'm like ready for it to be normal. It really sucks because like Christmas is a big season for us too. So I don't know, this year, I feel like we're a broken record. We just say that every week.
Everybody is. Yeah.
I know. This year sucks.
It does. It really, really does.
Truly. And it, like, the funny part was, is that everyone thought, you know, 2020, like we're entering the 20s again. It's going to be all fun and like a new year, a new decade and all of that. No, no, bitch. No, no, no. That hit us, that slapped us in the face real quick. Real fucking quick. I don't know. But at least we're here bringing gore and horror and everything to everyone. So you're welcome. We're on theme with the year.
All right.
We didn't even plan it that way. Like, our first episode was in this calendar year. What?
Crazy. I think
that was 8 years ago. We've lived 1,000 lifetimes since then. And I don't know even what to do with that piece of information. On that note though, I have gotten, I say many, but any more than one is a lot to me. So I've gotten many I can't speak apparently today either. Many questions. I'll go with that. An easier word for myself to master. Or like interest in our band t-shirts.
Yes.
Our year anniversary t-shirts. So like this is happening and I'm super excited about it.
I cannot wait. I literally cannot wait.
How excited about it. I'm going to live in them. I'm going to never take them off. And that's going to be it. I have like the design workings in my brain.
I'm so excited.
On the computer or on paper or, you know, something. It's going to be so much fun. I love it. And we're definitely making a Romeo Spikes band tee.
We need it.
100% happening. I already have the design in my head. Like, it's happening. It's going on. We're doing it. Shit's getting real. So I'm very excited that other people are excited about this. It's not just us that are excited about it. There are at least 4 other people that are also excited about it.
And that's awesome.
And Katie is going to have to wear one because I'm going to force her to. So is Linda. So that'll just, at least we'll have
a little baby onesie.
Yes, I'll make a baby onesie for her baby. Yes. Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but I will 100% do that. He'll wear a Romeo Spikes onesie. She'll probably be like, absolutely not. Get away from my child. So we'll have that. I'm very excited about it. We still have a couple of weeks until our year episode. We have about 6 weeks, I think.
Something. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, 6 weeks. So it's not happening yet, but it will happen. Also, speaking of listener, I'm pretty sure I called her Laura in last week's episode. That is my bad, and I'm a horrible person. Her name's Lauren. Lauren.
Okay.
Lauren. I think I said Laura. Lauren, I am deeply sorry. I apologize. So I was saying last week that Lauren sent in, or the week before, whenever it was, that Lauren sent in like a story request. And so it actually, her request tied into something that I was already thinking about doing. And so it kind of has a lot of, the subject of today's podcast has a lot of stories around it. So there's going to be a follow-up because there's a separate one that I want to do a little bit more research into. There is a story surrounding it that got hushed a little bit. So I'm going to try to see if I can find some sort of like archival kind of like thing, like try to find a little bit more information about it, because today we're going to talk about the old Ursuline convent.
Oh, great. Yes. I'm excited. Creepy.
So, yes, it's creepy as hell. I get creeped out just looking at it, like just being near it. It scares me. But I also, I don't know if this is my 14 years of Catholic education that did this to me, but like religious things like creep me out anyway. So like if somebody has a lot of like Jesus stuff in their house, or like, it just weirds me out, man. Like it just like kind of weirds me out. In like the cathedral has like a gift shop kind of thing. Even that stuff weirds me out. And I know it's like little trinkets that people buy. It's not like whatever.
Yeah.
But then also knowing that people are like buried under the floor of the
cathedral, yeah, for sure.
It just weird, like all of that weirds me out. I just feel like there are so many weird traditions, and it freaks me out. I can't deal with it. So the old Ursuline convent is creepy as fuck to begin with. Like
it is. And it's super, super old.
So old. So
old.
Yes. So today I'm going to talk about like the history behind it a little bit, and some like weird, like haunting stuff. I found something, we're both familiar with creepypasta. And it's a really like, it can be funny, but then it can also be like really creepy website about like different haunted stuff and all that. It's like, you'll go down a rabbit hole, anyone that gets on this site. But there's somebody that shared a personal encounter, and I'm just going to put that in quotes. So I'm going to read that later at the end of this. So first I'm going to talk about the history of the building. There's a lot of like speculation, history, rumors, like all of that kind of stuff, which I feel like the Catholic Church brings that wherever they go.
Oh, for sure.
The convent building, like the old convent building, apparently is the oldest building in the French Quarter, as well as the oldest building in the Mississippi Valley. I don't know is what they're claiming. So they're saying this essentially because anyone that knows kind of like New Orleans history, there were two really big fires that broke out that kind of like demolished the French Quarter. However, the Ursuline convent was never touched. They say that technically it wasn't like the first building built here, but it's the longest lasting or standing or whatever. And right. They obviously updated it, added to it, did all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
It's also been like 800 different things. Now it's part of, now that the cathedral and St. Mary's Church, which is attached, like adjacent to the old convent, makes up the Catholic Cultural Heritage Center of the Archdiocese of New Orleans.
Oh,
so there's a museum inside of there. There's like a whole like, you know, thing. They have like different installations of different historical stuff, like all that kind of thing. I don't know if I could walk into that building. But you know, if creepy is your thing, go for it.
Yeah. Very creepy.
So it was the building itself, the original build. So the building is like just one of the buildings facing the river. And then there's like other buildings like attached to it. Those were kind of added on a couple of years later, but the original building was designed in 1745 and completed almost 10 years later in 1752-53, around that time. And that's when they did this whole, they had this like second line kind of, they didn't call it a second line, but whatever the religious version of a religious second line. And they like dedicated it and did all of that kind of stuff. So the building, it was originally like the house and the convent for the Ursuline nuns, hence the name. And it was also a school, which was actually, so it was a school first, and it was petitioned by Governor Bienville, There's already a boys' school in the area, an all boys' school, and he wanted to have a school for like the upper Creole, like rich people's girls to go to as well. Right. It was an orphanage, which always scares me. Creepy as hell. Super creepy. Like super creep alert. A residence for the Archbishop of the time, whatever, you know, around that, whatever decade that was. An archdiocese central office. And even for a short time, it was a meeting place for the Louisiana legislature.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was so many things.
Fun facts. All of the things. So that also, I'm like, with all of that history and all of those things happening in there, there's some sort of energy in there, like whatever it may be. But like nuns in the 1700s too scared the those outfits are scary as hell. So like, it's just all, there's a whole creep factor,
Yeah. It's like the stereotypical like nun outfit.
Yes. Like not like the,
they don't do anymore.
Yeah, like the flying nun kind of outfit with the whole big thing. Yeah, super fucking creepy. Yeah, like nuns now. So like at Mount Carmel has nuns that live like on the property in the old area that used to be the boarding school. And they have like the Carmelite nuns that live there. But none of them wear the full, like, well, some of them wear the full getup kind of thing. But like my principal, who was a nun, did not wear a habit. And she sometimes had like brown track pants on. Like, so they're not as, like, it's not as creepy anymore. But the ones before used to be real creepy.
Super creepy. Mm-hmm.
So now this history is where Lauren's suggestion for a story comes in. And I know you've heard of this, but in case any, so we're going to talk about the Casket Girls today. Well, part of it, and then it kind of gets into another part. So the convent's long, like, folklore, rumor, ghost story, history, a lot of it has to do with vampires, which sadly...
Vampires. Oh.
Yes. Which sadly do not look like Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, unfortunately, which I feel like if you're a vampire and you need to look like that, like that's just, your like percentage of getting people to like let you near them to do whatever vampires do, I feel like would be higher if you look like Brad Pitt.
Cause you're already dead and cold and like,
totally.
You need the face. In the body.
Need something going for you, and I feel like a Brad Pitt face, even Tom Cruise back then.
Okay, oh, yeah, for sure.
It would do wonder. They need to, like, regroup and restyle their whole vampire shtick.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So, and a lot of the vampire, like, how the vampire stuff started has to do with the Casket Girls. So, Casket Girls... basically kind of made a big statement with their arrival, and it wasn't like planned on being what it became. Like it wasn't meant to be. They were not here for like story or like to make a scene or anything like that. I don't know if you've watched this, because we usually watch the same kind of like British television, PBS kind of thing, but there's a show, it only had one season, and I don't know if it's coming back, but a show called Jamestown about like
the I haven't seen it. Yeah.
So in it, the main like girl, and this isn't like this is in the, I'm not giving anything away. There's no spoilers. But basically it follows a girl, a lady that comes over to marry a settler of the New World kind of thing. So she comes over from so that's English. The Casket Girls are French. But
okay.
So she like comes over. So anyone that's seen that show, it's kind of like that in the beginning. Obviously they dramatize all of that as well, but it's kind of like that idea in the beginning. They take women who maybe are not exactly super rich, like middle class families or like kind of ladies of the night and stuff, and they send them over to marry the guys that are already here, that were already here, like settling the land. So essentially that's what the Casket Girls were. They were sent over. So the like founders of the area, the land, and the people that were like farming it and trying to make it into a city, petitioned the king of France to send women here, basically, because they were all men at the time, mostly all men, and send women here so they could basically start families and lives and like, you know, the whole city kind of thing.
Colonizing.
Exactly. Thank you. So, yeah, so that was like their purpose. They were not there to like make a scene or anything. However, I guess because, and anyone that like knows this knows New Orleans' background is like in a lot of different, like a lot of countries claimed us as their area kind of thing. So I'm assuming the disconnect were with people that were not French speaking. That's where I'm thinking that whole like thing came from, because I feel like if you were French and spoke French, like you would, there would not have been a disconnect.
Right. So
disconnect essentially, of course, they're, why they are there, here they are cutting the grass again. What's happening? What is happening?
I can't hear it.
Okay, good. Because every time we record, they're here cutting the grass.
Yeah.
And there's Hugo. Anywho, so basically they got their nicknames because the women were like given, essentially just given like an overnight bag to bring all of their possessions to their new life. Like that was it.
That's it?
That's all they got. So
here's your backpack. Bye.
Pretty much. Yeah. It was like, bye, yeah. Felicia. Have a, hopefully you don't die on the way there. Here's all of your belongings in a bag. So
it's scary. That must have been so scary. Like you're
Well, also, Jesus H. So these like weekender bag things were called casquettes. So, and it's spelled differently. It's a French E-T-T-E kind of spelling. And they were like essentially a weekender bag, you know, kind of situation. There's some things that say that they were smaller, but I feel like if people saw them with these like smaller things, there wouldn't have been so much of a rumor attached to them. So I'm thinking they were pretty, they were like duffel bag, like weekender bag kind of like things, or box it, like trunks or whatever.
Right.
So when people, so this is the disconnect, people heard casquette and thought casket, like for a dead body. So that's where part of the, so they were like, what are they, these women are coming with their caskets? Like what, like what's happening? And it kind of like caused this bit. Are you done? Now I'm going to have to edit this, you turd. We were going so well there. So like when people didn't know what casquette meant in French, well, now I think it means cap or something. I'm not really sure like where the name casquette came from, but it meant their bag, the bag or the trunk that they came with. So they thought casket, like a dead body casket. So essentially they thought they were like bringing dead bodies with them.
Or that they were vampires?
So the vampire rumors started because, so they hear casket, pair that with the fact that these women for like what, I think it took like 2 months by boat to get across, across the Atlantic. So they, anybody that like knows any historical stuff, like half the people in these ships, like did not make it there to their destination. Like they died from something or they like something happened. A lot of people got sick, like, you know, so when they heard caskets and the women, they, a lot of them were pale and gaunt and sickly kind of looking because of their travels. So it was all of these like little pieces put together, and you know, people like to talk shit, like and especially then it wasn't a fully developed city yet, so it's like, what the fuck else are you doing? Like, you're just gonna talk shit about people.
Well, so, and back then I think the Catholic Church like had like this air of mystery, you know, you know,
well, that's like, that's how they got people to follow them anyway, because they were like all mysterious and people didn't know what the fuck was happening. So they, these poor women were like weeks long at sea, months long, whatever, at sea. some were coughing up blood because TB was like a thing, you know, and different illnesses that they could catch had, you know, different stuff. So some were coughing up blood. A lot of them were pale and gaunt and sickly. And then they're arriving with caskets. So people kind of just like swirled this like vampire thing. So they're right. considered to have brought the first vampires with them to the United States.
Okay.
In these caskets. It also didn't help that the third floor of the Old Ursuline Convent is very, very infamous, essentially. So it was said that they would put the girls' caskets up on the third floor until they were married. Like, so it must have had more, it must have been like a hope chest kind of thing and had like more wedding stuff in it or whatever. I mean, it was, after all of their possessions, so it had a lot of shit in it. So they would like wait for the story goes that they would put them away and wait for the women to be married and wed before taking their casket down and letting the, you know, bringing it to wherever the woman was living at that time. So right. It is said that the caskets were kept on the third floor of the convent and that when workers went to go take them down for the women, that there was nothing in them. They were empty. These trunk things were empty. There's nothing in them.
Hmm.
So that even that those like rumors from whoever was opening these caskets were, it fueled the fire even more that they were actually vampires in the caskets that they brought with them. They weren't actually their belongings. It was vampires that they brought, and the vampires broke out, and then they were now in the city and in the convent.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. So these poor, like, could you imagine these poor women? Like, they're just coming here. Somebody's making them come here to get married.
Married a stranger.
Yeah, like, you're marrying a stranger you never met before. A lot of them, so in Jamestown, in the show, too, and I looked it up, and a lot of it was, like, historically accurate. It gets very, it's a drama, so it gets very, you know, like, dramatic. But a lot of these women, so they would go to, like, the town square or whatever, and they would call out the woman's name, and a man would just come up and claim them. So, like, they were already claimed by people. Like, I don't know if this is how the French did it, but I did look up, like, many cities, like, English cities, that, like, they had already had women assigned to men. Like, that was already a thing. Like, they had already settled it. So you were already attached to someone, and they could have been, like, boily and fat and like gross, like you had no idea. You wouldn't know until they walked up to you and like claimed you. Oh, to be a woman back then,
that's,
I don't
horrifying.
Even
no.
So additionally, anyway, so these women already had it like going, and then now they're believed to have brought vampires with them from France. It's like, fuck off, y'all. Like, come on. These poor women. But I also, too, like, get the whole creep factor, because you don't know these women. You don't know where they came from. They're just now integrated into your society. And on top of that, they look sickly and awful. Some are coughing up blood, which I'm also, like, vampires wouldn't have blood. They don't have blood in them. So, but, you know.
Well, but maybe they saw it on their lips, you know.
Maybe, and they're like, yeah, like, and it was. Yeah, and they just thought, oh, bet she was drinking some blood. Who knows? But, so, yeah. So, these poor, just, I personally, the whole time reading up about this, I was like, these poor fucking women. They were probably scared out of their minds. They probably felt like shit from being in a boat for 2 months with, like, a bunch of gross boat guys and stuff. And, like, now they're going to, like, marry some person they've never seen before. What the fuck?
And New Orleans at that time was like, you know, dirty.
It was dirty. Yeah.
Hot. Like
hot mosquitoes. Illnesses, diseases were all around. No, no, thank you. That's a hard pass for me. But so also fueling even more. I think this was like a few decades later, or maybe like just a few years later. I couldn't really like find a year on this, but it would, the vampire rumors continue because the rumor that the third floor of the convent, the windows on the third floor were nailed shut. So that is the rumor that they are nailed shut. Even to this day, they are said to be nailed shut. They are also said that there are 8,000 nails in these windows, in these third floor windows. Like that's how many nails they put in to like keep in or keep out whatever they were worried about.
Wow.
And that they, the 8,000 nails are said to have been blessed by the Pope at the time. And people have petitioned the Catholic Church to release any documents from back then, because obviously like the nuns traveled there, so they would have had documents for like that time, but the Catholic Church acts like this nothing, like the convent opened and then that's all they have of any of that. So right. It said that they were nailed shut to keep the vampires on the third floor in the convent. But the church and now the archdiocese, if asked, anyone there that works at the convent says they are fully functioning hurricane shutters and that's all they are. But my thing is, well, what were they before? Because this is not a new rumor. This is like a 200-year-old rumor. So I'm like, where did that, or 300-year-old rumor, like where did that come from? Obviously, they weren't hurricane shutters before. Like, yeah, we had shutters, but it wasn't like hurricane grade shutters. So I don't know. It's a little, you know, who knows? Allegedly, they're fully functioning hurricane shutters that just never open.
Right, exactly. Okay.
That just never open up. Yeah. But so now I'm getting, so that's all of my research. And now I want to read the account from, so this is, they do not have a, interesting. They do not have a writer on here. I thought they did. I don't know. It's on Creepypasta. And it's this person who say that they act like they write a lot for Creepypasta. So, cause it says like readers should know certain things anyway.
Okay.
Who knows? But I don't see a name now. I thought I did earlier, but apparently not. So the person says that they, not only have they heard stories from other people that have gone and sat outside, like, so people go and like sit outside the convent at like 2 a.m, like waiting for something to happen.
Oh no, no,
who's
no.
Who's got time for that?
No, no.
Who has time for that? Also, you ain't gonna see your girl at 3 a.m. in the French Quarter. Not happening.
That is not safe.
No. Because vampires is not what I'm scared of.
No, at three in the morning.
So, this person says, I've seen these shutters with my own eyes dozens of times in my trips to New Orleans. Only once did I see them open. So people have reported that they see them open at like 3 a.m. And they say they like, they'll be shut, like look like closed tight. And then you like turn around or don't look or whatever. And then all of a sudden one side is like open or something, like one part of the window or one whole window is open. And so a lot of people have claimed that, like many people, not even just like writers and you know, travel people. So he said, or they, I don't know if it's a female or a woman or a man, or non-binary. In my foolish curiosity, I attempted a camp out in front of the gates myself. I feel the reader should know that I get myself into these situations a lot and it usually ends up uneventful, even disappointing. So I've gotten used to not bringing the appropriate tools with them. Like they don't bring cameras or whatever because they say they never actually see anything. So it says around, they apologize for lack of proof, but they didn't bring anything with them. So I was like, likely story, but it's, you know.
Yeah. Sure.
Right.
I'm like, okay. Camp out at night and not bring any.
And not bring anything. Right. Sure. So it says, around midnight, a friend of mine, a local tour guide, stopped by the convent on his way home after he saw me sitting and waiting patiently. he was talking about heading to one of the local bars to catch up, and I told him my plans to sit there and see if anything happens. And he said, keep in mind, this is the same guy who got me interested in the place to begin with. His friendly smile changed quickly and quickly turned to a confused frown. You think this is some sort of joke? He asked, also almost insulted. We don't tell these stories to lure you into this death trap. We tell you these things to keep you away. We argued for a while about how I needed to learn to take the warnings more seriously, but I am a hard-headed person, and after much persistence, he regrettably gave up. With sad, worried eyes, he told me he hoped to see me tomorrow and that we would catch up. He didn't sound very confident, I thought, as I watched him disappear down the street to leave me with my thoughts. So you're sitting out there at 3 a.m. You see your friend who's a tour guide, who's the one that told you about all of these stories and like deaths that have happened supposedly because of whatever came out of the third story. And then he tells you that he's worried and, oh, I hope I see you tomorrow. And you're still going to sit your ass out there. Anywho.
I don't know. It's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he say, or they say, I shouldn't laugh because I'm sure this person thinks that this is serious, but it made me giggle, which is why I wanted to read this. After a few hours, I was ready to give up and call it another failed night. I gathered my things and looked at my watch, 3:30 in the morning. I'm sure even the undead at this point needed some sleep. I didn't even notice one of the shutters was creeping open. I walked a few steps before I noticed I was surrounded by a foggy mist. My heart sank when I saw the shutter. Then I watched every other shutter not only open, but fly open like something had exploded. At that point, the mist was pouring out of the windows like a rush of water. Terrified, I could only stare as the thick rolling fog poured down the sides of the convent and blanketed the courtyard inside. Then a slow ascending hiss fell all around them. Suddenly, I was thrown face first into the iron gates. Unimaginable pressure built, pressing me harder into the gates. I felt my heart pounding in my throat, gasping for air as a large hand grasped the back of my head, pushing my throat into the bars. Look at what they've done, a raspy voice whispered into my ear. I felt bits of moisture hit my cheek with each word, and the stench of whatever this was completely unbearable and nauseating. I couldn't answer it. I couldn't answer it, though I couldn't see anything anyway. I don't know what that means. That didn't make sense. Here's the editor part of me. I'm like, we could have written that sentence better. Pressing my face even harder into the iron bars, I felt like my head was going to burst from the weight on it. Do you see? It hissed again with the stench of rot swirling in my nose. All of a sudden, the mist in the courtyard cleared, and I saw them, not clearly, but looking like four shadows. This person, we need an editor up in here. But they were looking at, so the mist cleared, and they saw four shadows standing in the courtyard.
Right.
Their eyes, impossibly black, opened and moved my way. So these four shadows had black eyes and looked at the person's way. I couldn't answer. I couldn't breathe. My heart beating out of my chest. Then they felt whatever was around them slowly breathe and then breathe in. Like they were like sniffing the person.
Oh, okay.
I think earlier when I read this to myself, I corrected everything in my brain. So now that I'm reading it out loud, I was like, wow, this is really bad.
Yeah.
No offense to this person on Creepypasta, but like next time, maybe shout us out and we'll edit your piece for you.
Also, they were very lucky when they were pressing into the iron fence that it wasn't a Romeo spike.
Real. Because that could have ended real bad. Real, real bad. So they said, naturally as a breeze, the pressure was gone. However, I found myself instantly in the middle of this hedge maze of a courtyard in front of the convent. So the convent is surrounded by walls, like typical, buildings. I didn't mention this earlier, but like typical buildings in the French Quarter, it's surrounded by walls and there's like a courtyard in the middle of it. You can see through the front, like through the gate that you go into, you can see the courtyard. But there's like thick walls like around the whole thing. So they found themselves in the middle of, there's like a hedge situation and it's like in a shape. You can see it from, if you Google the convent, you can see pictures of it. So And now they were like standing all around this person. The one at their back swirled right in front of them. And even at this close, it was just a gray shadow with those big impossible black eyes and a crooked, wet, red, wound looking mouth. Whatever that means.
Like a wound? I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
So there was like, basically it was like, they felt like it was gonna attack them. They had like the hunger in its eyes, like kind of situation. So they said that they were shaking, like waiting, like a scared rabbit, like waiting for death, essentially. So this is when it gets weird. Then the madness of the monstrous hisses and groans.
Wait, this is where it gets weird.
True. Yeah. So it gets weirder.
Okay.
Good point. Yes. It gets weirder. Okay. There you go.
Got it.
Okay. Good point. Because everything's been totally normal up until this point.
Yes, I mean, yeah.
Totally casual.
Average day in the French Quarter.
Totally normal. We see this all the time, kind of thing. So basically everything went away. The hisses, the groans, the shadows, whatever, by an elderly woman's voice. She screamed something at these things, maybe in another language. They couldn't tell. But they were certain that they were out of their mind because everything just disappeared around them. I was just there in the courtyard looking like a scared idiot. Then I saw the source of that firm voice. A petite nun was standing there at the edge of the courtyard, looking back at me with disapproving eyes. She was adorned in an old-fashioned looking habit, holding something that looked like a stick in her hand. Girl. Okay. They say girl here. You don't belong here, girl, she told them. So this person is a female. You don't belong here, girl. Better get going, she said in a disappointed grandma-like voice. I didn't hesitate. She opened the gate for me to leave, the same one I was firmly pressed against not moments ago. I walked out, heard the gate slam, close, and lock. I turned around, wanting to at least thank the woman for saving me. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. She was gone, though. I would imagine it would take an elderly woman some time to walk back through that huge courtyard, but sure enough, she was gone. I looked up, and the shutters were closed tight like they were never opened at all. That was enough for me. I was gone. There was no going back to talk to this nun either, especially when I found out the next day that there hadn't been nuns there in years. So.
Okay. Wow.
So, this woman, there have been other like stories about the mist part and the shutters opening. However, we have a weird climate. It fogs a lot. Like there's, you know, depending on when you were here, when this happened, like there's a lot of things that could be like, that could debunk this whole situation. And then I also want to be like, were drugs involved?
Had you had some hand grenades?
Right. Were you drinking? Did you have some alcohol to keep you up till 3 a.m? Right. Who knows? I personally have never read anything that intense. Though earlier in her article, she recounts apparently in the 70s, some paranormal investigators did the same thing and sat outside and their bodies were found bled. Like the next day, and according to reports and this person's thing, the bodies were completely drained of their blood. But if you like, even a doctor or like a skilled person, apparently you can only drain like 70% of the blood before your arteries collapse.
Okay.
So right. The fact that they were fully drained of their blood was, it was all vampire-ness. And I'm not saying that something didn't horribly happen to these people or this girl on Creepypasta, but.
Well, I mean, that convent is haunted for sure.
100%.
Just don't know about this.
Fully. But yeah. These like chat, like now, do I think a nun might have come out and spoke French at you? Like, and you saw this nun and like, yes. That I could 100%.
Yes.
Fully on board. Even like maybe the shutters booming open, mist, like that kind of stuff, because I believe in ghosts and entities can like, you know, conjure up enough energy to move things and open things. And, you know, so I even like fully believe that. That's fine. But the shadows and like the pushing you into the iron gates and stuff, and you had no photos. And if you got pushed head first into an iron gate, you're going to have bruises or something from that. So you could have taken a picture the next day and like showed people accompanying this kind of thing. So yeah. I don't know about all that. I don't know about the people that died in the 70s, but this is where the whole vampire rumor started. And then everyone knows the rumor or the legend that there are vampires on the third floor of the convent. And that's why the windows are nailed shut, to keep the vampires in. Apparently too, this person on Creepypasta, or somebody, maybe it wasn't the Creepypasta one, but somebody wrote about going into the museum, because you can go into the convent to go to the museum, and trying to find the stair or like stairs or anywhere to the third floor and not being able to like see anything. And apparently the museum people like don't really answer questions like about the third floor or whatever. So
interesting, huh?
I feel like that's more fuel to the fire. And from a marketing standpoint, I would fan flames into that to get people to go to the museum and like want to be interested in stuff. But I think a lot of it, especially knowing that like where the casket girls came from and their whole thing and why people thought that they were vampires, like that whole thing, it's like, okay, we're solid. Now,
yeah,
like I said, I'm going to talk again late at a later episode about more of the Ursuline Convent, because on a ghost tour that I took for my friend's birthday, I heard a very disgusting story that I said before. I'm going to do a little bit more research into, try to find some, maybe some archival stuff, maybe some city plans or whatever, you know, like something like that, to try to kind of piece the story together.
Teaser, you're teasing us.
I know, I'm teasing you. It's a horrid story. Like hopefully I can find something. If not, I'll share the story anyway, but I'm hoping to find more concrete stuff, and I haven't been able to find that. So I'm gonna do a little bit more, go down the Google rabbit hole kind of thing and hopefully find something, but I'm going to tell the story anyway, but I'm hoping to find more concrete evidence or something to support what I've heard, what they told on the ghost tour, and what I have like read about it, because I'd never heard that. And this was like a year ago or 2 years ago, and I had never heard this story before. Like the Catholic Church really locked that one down, because I had never heard about that before. So I'm hoping.
Oh, I can't wait. I know.
It sucks. The story, it sucks. And it's kind of gory and gross, but that's all I'm going to tell you.
All right.
We just covered the vampire part of it, third floor kind of thing, and the poor casket girls that got a bad rap.
And I didn't know that about the shutters being nailed shut. So
that's the whole thing is that the shutters are nailed shut, and people claim to see them and stuff, and like see that there's see nails and stuff in them. So you can, dear listeners, go and look at it yourself and see what you see. Unless you want to end up like the girl on Creepypasta, I don't think you should stay there at any weird hour of the night.
No, we don't recommend anyone just sitting outside.
No, in the French Quarter in general. Don't sit anywhere in the French Quarter at like 3 a.m. No good thing happens.
No.
And according to this girl, a ghost nun will speak to you, to the shadows in French. I wish this person was from here, because I feel like they would have been able to understand a little of like, or catch what the person was saying, because she was just at a different language. And I'm like, well, they were French Ursuline nuns, so I'm like, they're going to be speaking French. Like, Everybody spoke French back then. And so I wish it was somebody local who could have like more easily picked up what the French would have been to add to the story, you know.
Right.
But yeah. So that's part one. Awesome. Convent. That's it. Poor casket girls. So Brian, sorry it wasn't more creepy or more intense. It was just kind of really sad that these girls ended up just kind of looking gauntly and sick.
But that was very interesting.
I know. I thought it was cool. I didn't know that it was a building. I didn't know before, like, really going into it. I'd heard about the casket girls before, but I didn't really know. I didn't realize I'd had a connection to the Ursuline Convent. Like, that, I didn't know that at all. So when I was doing research into the convent, which I knew had to be, like, haunted or something, so I knew there was some sort of story there, and then I found that they were also connected, I was like, oh, well, there you go. Lauren's just getting her wish, man. Like, just gonna... Uh-huh. Kill two birds with one stone. But
that was a great idea, Lauren. Thank you so much. Oh,
thanks, Lauren. And anyone else, feel free. We love suggestions. I've gotten a couple of others from people that listen, but I haven't been able to find the whole Adele. What's happening? Adele decided to just
She felt bad for the casket girls.
Adele. You know, if someone were to write a song about the casket girls, it would be Adele.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
She would understand their pain.
Yes.
We're doing this live, people. This is what happens. But yeah, so if anyone else has any stories or anything for us to look into, just like Lauren did, you can email us at bigeasyspirits@gmail.com, or somebody else actually put in a little thing through our website, which you can also contact us through bigeasyspiritspodcast.com. That's where you can listen to us. And eventually that's where you'll be able to buy our t-shirts.
Yes.
So good things are coming, people. And that's all I got from me for today. That's it.
That's awesome. Thank you for that.
All I got. So y'all let us know what you thought. Lauren, send us an email. Let us know what you thought, which your thoughts were on the poor casket girls. And if anyone has any other things, any other story ideas, let us know that we haven't covered. We've covered a lot so far in this almost year. So if anyone has anything we haven't heard of, you know, Ashley loves a good folklore, a good rougarou, a good witch bottle. It's weird to say, I love a good murder. you know, it's weird. I don't do any murders. I just like a good true crime sitch.
Yes.
But yeah, until next week, holler at us, let us know what you think, and if you have any other things to share. Until then, cheers.
Cheers.